All around the country, monuments and symbols of the Confederate South, including cinematic representation of those days gone by, are falling. And I guess we're going to chat about it on this episode of Pop Life.
Digital content on WAER is supported by California Closets of Syracuse, creating custom storage solutions for all areas of the home. Now offering virtual design consultations. More information at californiaclosets.com or by phone 315-701-4382.
Welcome to Pop Life. I'm Joe Lee. As we see a major cultural shift and movement in this country, Americans are facing its ugly past as a slave-trading nation and continued struggles with racism. As a result, old monuments of the Confederate South are falling. Statues of Confederate generals are coming down. NASCAR is banning the use of the Confederate flag, and even HBO through Time Warner Entertainment temporarily removed the movie Gone with the Wind from its on-demand platform. The 1939 American epic historical romance film was adapted from the 1936 novel by Margaret Mitchell. The film was produced by David O. Selznick and directed by Victor Fleming. The epic Civil War drama focuses on the life of Southern Belle Scarlett O'Hara, played by Vivian Leigh. And the film traces her survival through the tragic history of the South during the Civil War and Reconstruction and her tangled love affairs with Ashley Wilkes, played by Leslie Howard, and Rhett Butler, played by Clark Gable. Here with me to discuss what we do with historic art at a time of great cultural change is Bob Thompson. He's the trustee professor of television and popular culture at the S.I. Newhouse School of Public Communications at Syracuse University. Bob, welcome back to the show. You're like the original guest on this show.
I know. I am honored to have been the original guest.
Yeah. Well, it has been a pleasure, and I love these kinds of conversations with you because you have such a perspective on this subject. And this subject that I want to discuss is you and I like to have these conversations about what we do with historic artwork when it no longer fits sort of the cultural taste at the moment, right?
That's right. And one of the things is not to make it go away. I mean, I think it's important. We've been talking in the last couple of weeks all about systemic racism. And of course, that's been a conversation we've been having well before this new set of stories have come out. And systemic racism certainly has to do with the depriving people of their civil rights and with interactions with the police and all the things that we're talking about. But part of what makes it systemic is, of course, that the culture has in fact been supporting these ideas for a long, long time. And it is, I think, important as our consciousness is raised that we confront all of this stuff. I mean, Gone with the Wind is a quote-unquote classic American piece of cinema. It's on these top 100 lists and top 10 lists in some cases, one of the biggest box offices ever. When it first aired on TV, it broke all kinds of ratings records. So I suppose it's as good a place to start and HBO is not throwing all the copies of Gone with the Wind into the fire. They're pulling it until they can put it into some kind of context. I would like to eventually see all kinds of the systemic, problematic culture that we have produced in the history of this country have similar kinds of discussions attached to them.
Yeah. So, you make a great point about the accolades around this movie. So we're not talking about a run-of-the-mill film that's sort of out of context today. We're talking about at the time it was released, it was the highest earning film made up to that point, and it held the record for over a quarter of a century. That's one thing. And they say when adjusted for monetary inflation, it is still the highest grossing film in history. That's one thing. The other thing is, and at the subject here, the portrayal of Black Americans in this movie, I think you and I would agree, is deplorable by obviously today's standards and even standards back then. But, and it's a difficult but to make, but at the time, that was the work that was available to struggling Black actors. And in this movie, we have performance from Hattie McDaniel, who happened to be the first African-American to win an Academy Award for this performance.
That's right.
We also had Butterfly McQueen, who went on to have a wonderful career as an actress, too. Now, they were subjected to playing these kinds of roles at the time, but that's what was afforded to them. If they wanted to work in the industry, that's what they did. And I guess I have a problem with erasing the contributions of people like Butterfly McQueen and Hattie McDaniel if we just completely erase the film.
Right, which I have never advocated that we make these films completely unavailable. Number one, because as I said before, I think we need to know what the culture is that this country emerged as. It helps us to understand where we are today. But two, and this is always a more difficult point, and that's the one you just made, is that when you had a whole population of people who the only way they could get work in the entertainment industry were through these really limited sorts of roles, it's almost like you doubly attack them, first by not giving them better roles, and secondly by taking away the memory of the roles that they've had. A great example of this was Amos and Andy. Mm-hmm. Which, of course, started out as the first really big hit on network radio back in the late 1920s, and then it went on to television. And it is filled with all kinds of abject stereotypes that everybody has heard of. But one of the responses was to take that out of syndication, very much in a response to requests by the NAACP. And for a long time, that show was really hard to see. So the good news was people responded to the stereotyped way in which people were presented in this show and took it out of mainstream syndication. But then what also happened was you had some really brilliant comic actors in that, for the most part, exclusively black cast, whose work was for the most part, disappeared. The white creators of Amos and Andy, who used to do the show in audio blackface when it was on radio, got stars in the Walk of Hollywood. The two black actors that played the roles of Amos and Andy on television did not. Mm-hmm. And that's a complicated problem in and of itself.
Yeah. So what we're talking about specifically with this film is again, how blacks were portrayed. I guess this film, to a degree, glorifies the South and the Confederacy. But let's listen to Hattie McDaniel and Butterfly McQueen and get a sense of the historical presentation of blacks in film at that time.
Ooh! Just hold on and suck in.
Mommy, here's Miss Scarlet's pickles.
You can take it all back to the kitchen. I won't need a bite.
Oh, yes, and you is. You's gonna eat every mouthful of this.
So you get the exaggerated speak, the poor English, and I know Hattie McDaniel, I heard, was a very well-spoken woman. Hattie McDaniel played Mammy. That's where that term Mammy got popularized from her performance there. And Butterfly McQueen played Prissy in that movie. Hattie McDaniel, I think, is quoted, and I'm going to loosely quote this, is saying, "I would rather play a maid and get paid $1,000 a week than be a maid and make $1 a week." So that was sort of her person. And this is what I think I saw that quote in an HBO special on black comedy. And I think it was Whoopi Goldberg or someone in that documentary that quoted something like that from Hattie McDaniel. And that's sort of the perspective we're talking about, is they were willing to take on that struggle in order to make some kind of gains in the entertainment industry for black Americans.
That's true, and I think they need to be thanked for that. And that quote, that's a very famous quote that's been thrown around a lot. And incidentally, Hattie McDaniel, okay, so she wins an Academy Award, an Oscar, the epitome of what an actor can, how an actor can be recognized. And years, over a decade later, in the early 1950s, Hattie McDaniel got a television series. It was called Beulah.
Mm-hmm.
She played a maid, and she, you know, Miss of this and Mrs. that and Ms. this, and she played the maid to a white family. So that role, even long after she'd won an Oscar, was still one of the only roles that she was able to get. That quote is a difficult one to deal with. How do you argue with what she says? Mm-hmm. And what she did ultimately did open up roles for people that weren't just maids. Strangely enough, Hal Cantor, the guy who created Julia, a breakthrough program in the late 1960s with Diane Carroll as a single black woman who was raising a child. Her husband had been killed in Vietnam. Hal Cantor had started out as a writer for Amos and Andy. So that evolution did occur, and we need to celebrate that evolution. But at the same time, I think you can't just drop episodes of Beulah or Amos and Andy or Gone with the Wind completely without some kind of contextual acknowledgement that this is when these were made, and that in the case of Gone with the Wind, the stereotypes are only part of the problem. The celebration of the Edenic existence of what pre-Civil War, the pre-Civil War South was, which of course was the subject matter of 50 years of minstrel shows in the 19th century, one of the first American popular entertainment forms, which went for half a century.
Yeah, and here's the how they're proposing to contextualize this, and let me know if you agree with that approach. This is being reported by the Washington Post, that they learned that they're going to possibly put it back on the platform, but they're going to have a prominent African-American studies scholar sort of introduce the film and put it in proper context. Do you agree with that presentation?
I think that's, I mean, before I can judge how well that works, I'll have to see how it happens. But I think that's a perfectly sound way of doing this. And as I said before, I wouldn't mind seeing this being done to all kinds of problematical program that we've had before. Incidentally, depending on how you measure box office, and there's 100 different ways you can do it, but by one measurement, guess what movie Gone with the Wind knocked out of the top slot in box office?
What was that?
Birth of a Nation.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Now, you think Gone with the Wind has got problems.
Oh, yeah.
Birth of a Nation has, you know, the big climactic ride in to save the day is done by the good guys. Who are the good guys in Birth of a Nation?
The Ku Klux Klan.
Right. When that show opened, they actually had people in Klan outfits dressed up as ushers in the some of the big theaters. And that movie is generally considered, or had been for many years, as the first really important moment when Hollywood had truly matured. So there's another case where, in some cases, if you're teaching the history of film, you've got to teach it. Its use of close-ups, its intercutting of scenes that were going on simultaneously. It did a lot of important things. But to simply teach that as a cinematic moment and not introduce it with a whole lot of context, I think would really be a problem, especially to young students. I hope this Gone with the Wind intro manages to achieve that. And then when you watch it, you can watch it as a movie and as something that was popular and a part of American history, but you've got some sense of where exactly it's sat in American culture, what it meant, and the price we continue to pay for that kind of attitude.
Here's what Warner Media CFO Pascal DeRoches has to say about its continuance on its platforms.
Gone with the Wind is but one example of a of a film that portrays blacks in an unrealistic and unflattering light. There's not much we can do to change the past. What I think as a company, our obligation is to do is to tell stories in a much more authentic way about the black experience. And how do we do that? I think it's important that we hire black creatives that actually can tell the story in a very authentic way and make sure that blacks are being portrayed much more realistically than they have historically.
And I think that's fantastic, and that's the way forward. But again, we're stuck with this question of what do we do with classic art when it no longer fits our sort of cultural reality, I should say. And that's kind of where we are with this. And even going beyond a race, you and I have had these conversations about what do we do with the work of Bill Cosby and others who are no longer seen in the light that they were previously seen. You know, the art exists, the work exists.
That's right.
And I guess we do, you're right, we do have to find a proper context to present it, just like they're talking about with the Confederate statues. Take them down out of public spaces where everyone should feel comfortable and put them in museums or in a proper context where people can review the history. We have an ugly history in this country. There's no getting around that. We can't wash that away. But putting in a context that makes it more palatable for folks, I think, is the way to go. So taking movies like Gone with the Wind and putting it in context, presenting it in a way that people can understand the moment back then when this was made versus, you know, showing it in today's light.
And that shouldn't be a controversy. That should be just common sense to me.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the fact that this becomes a debate is, I mean, we as you just very eloquently pointed out, we've got to come to grips with the fact that the history of this country from the very beginning is filled with examples of massive oppression towards other people. It was built into the Constitution, for heaven's sakes. What women couldn't vote in this country until 1920 when that finally happened. So I think when we're looking at classics, and I'm hesitant to say that we have to separate various things, but I guess that's kind of what we do. You brought up Cosby. We have to separate the really important things he did to the evolution of American mass entertainment, and he did some very, very important things. But we have to acknowledge that in terms of all of the other things that he did as well. And that isn't an easy thing to do, but I think it's the only thing to do.
Right. And I think the way forward is to tell new stories and with authentic black voices and also begin to present things in a way that is accessible for audiences to take advantage of bringing this material together in a way that we have access to a multitude of opinions, voices.
Exactly.
What we see with Netflix right now, they've created, they've aggregated a section that they're calling sort of a Black Lives Matter section. So if you go on Netflix platform
right
now, you click on that, you get a multitude of shows by and about African-Americans, movies, documentaries. I think it's a wonderful thing to do. To put that at the fingertips to have all folks who enjoy, diverse content to have access to that.
I agree with you entirely. And I guess the good news is things are not perfect yet. They're not the evolution is not gone as far as we hope that it will. But things are a lot better than they were when Gone with the Wind came out in 1939, when Birth of a Nation came out in 1915. And part of that has to do with the fact that there are places like cable channels, HBO, and streaming places like Netflix. So the likes of Issa Rae and Donald Glover, who are creating being real masterpieces where they're not only featured in front of the camera, but they are behind the camera. They're the auteurs. They are the souls of these kinds of programs. That is, I don't think we're going to need to be apologizing for those shows when we watch them 50 years from now. Trevor Noah yesterday suggested comically that they should make a list of all these movies, and they should require people to take a history quiz before they're allowed to watch them. I think that's not a terrible idea.
That's a good idea. Bob, it is always a pleasure having you on Pop Life. Thank you for coming back.
It's always so much fun. Thank you.
Thanks for checking out another episode of Pop Life. Be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And please rate the show to help us reach more folks. Pop Life is a product of WAER, Syracuse Public Media. Our producer is Kevin Kloss. I'm Joe Lee. We'll see you next time.